So welcome to a session, a live session. My name is Emilio, and today we're going to be talking about the topic of teaching others how to treat you. This is a very interesting topic that I did cover a while ago, and I was looking at my past recordings and I noticed that there were a lot of people that came. So lots of new things have happened and lots of new awareness have come into my present, and I just really wanted to cover this topic again. So thank you all for joining. I'm really happy to see you here, and I invite you to transition into the session by closing your eyes if you can, if you feel comfortable doing it. Take a couple of deep breaths and just enjoy the sound of this beautiful Tibetan singing bowl. And just come to the present moment. Yeah, sometimes the silence is the most healing thing that we can do. Allow yourself to make a noise when you exhale, just a couple times. Just release any tension you may have. Just inhale. And then just let it go. You can scream, you can make any noise that feels good to you. And that's going to help you really get out of things. Energy, stuck emotions, feelings. No sound. Can you guys hear me? Elena says no sound. Catherine says the same. Okay, so some people, yes, you are back. Okay. I can now. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened. I know what happened. My computer is connected to the internet in the house, and I am in the tiny office. So sometimes the computer doesn't change the connection. So I don't know why. I hope it works. Just give me a second, okay? Okay, I think now it's good. Yeah, sorry about that. Can you guys see me now? Sorry about that technology glitch. Amazing, thank you. And sorry about that, internet. So guys, what would you like to get out of this session today? Before I get started talking, I would like to know, what would you like to get out of the session today? Why did you come here? And I know you came to learn about the topic, but is there anything specific that you related to when you saw this topic, this talk? And you said, I want to go there because I want to. What is that for you? How go make a balanced impression so that people don't push your buttons too much? So Iris, you don't want people to push your buttons too much. Amazing. Angie says, hi, Emilio. How to deal with family you must visit that are toxic. Amazing. Releasing negative emotional reactions. How to protect your energy, boundaries, communicating boundaries. I don't seem to get the respect I would like. I would like to learn more about how to express my needs and wants in a gentle but effective way. How to stay clear but friendly. How I would like to be treated. Amazing. How to tell my partner about my news so that he understands and it is not offended. Beautiful. Creating more and better boundaries. News equal needs. Okay, needs. I was wondering, what are the news? I was curious there. Also be gentle with myself during moments of conflict. Yeah, being gentle with ourselves when we're having a conflict. Beautiful. Amazing, guys. Thank you so much for sharing. This is so wonderful. such deep stuff that you guys are seeking for. And this is so beautiful to really feel your intention, okay? And when it comes to communication, when it comes to relating with others and relating with ourselves, many times our intention is beautiful, but the impact of what we do and say is completely different sometimes. So our intention is completely different to the impact that we create with our actions, with our behavior, with our words. And yeah, how can we polish that so that we can get more of what we want and need, and while being respectful to others? How to push back on people who are over familiar, more tools for the emotional and communication toolboxes. Amazing. So I heard a few of the things that someone said, how to avoid people pushing my buttons too much, right? When someone is pushing your buttons, that means that there is something in there for you to learn from, okay? Anytime we react strongly to something, it is true that people will abuse that sometimes because they know you react to that. So they're going to keep pushing there, right? And I see this with my daughter. When she notices that something bothers me, she will just go and do it over and over and over until it stops bothering me. And it's funny because when it stops bothering me and I don't react anymore, she will stop doing it because she won't get the same from that dynamic. Okay? And so how to teach others how to treat you starts with you and yourself. Okay? It's really important to really get clear first. What is it that I want? What is it that I need? And most importantly, how am I treating myself? Okay? Because you can't expect others to treat you a specific way when you don't treat yourself that way. Okay? So it's always interesting to look inside. When someone is doing something that offends you, you look inside and then you take responsibility. Where in my life I do this to myself? For example, if you are seeking for respect, you will ask, where am I not being respectful to myself? Because what you want, you have to do it inside first. And then from that place, you are going to be able to receive it from others. You are going to start attracting that from other people. Okay? So this is very important. If you are seeking for respectful interactions, but you are not being respectful sometimes with yourself or with others, it's very difficult to make that happen. Many times, when a dynamic is happening, it always takes two people, at least two people, for a dynamic to work. And anytime you find yourself in the middle of a dynamic, always ask yourself, what is my part in this? What is my responsibility about what's happening now? How am I making this happening? Because it always takes two to dance, at least two, sometimes more than two, but it always takes at least two people for a dynamic to work, okay? If someone is upset and the other person gets more upset because they are reacting to that upset or that anger, it's an interaction that's happening and it's kind of building up from each other, right? But when someone that is angry comes to you and you can stay cool, you can keep presence, you can set a clear boundary, you don't react to that anger, all of a sudden that anger is not going to escalate the same way as if you get confronted with it. And same with any emotion, it doesn't have to be only anger. And yes, sometimes you have to keep yourself safe. Sometimes a physical boundary may be necessary. But I'm talking not to the extreme of being violent, physically speaking. I'm talking about the regular interactions that we have where, emotionally speaking, someone gets charged or someone doesn't get what they need, someone doesn't get what they want, etc. Okay? So let me read some of the comments. I heard the funniest line on a sitcom. Let me see if I can read it. Once, why do we let our parents push our buttons so much? Ha, because they install them. Sorry, I lost again. because they install those buttons in the first place. Isadora, that is totally true. Why can they push those buttons? Because they understand those buttons, because they are familiar with those buttons. And I did a series of talks in the past couple of weeks about a book called Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents. And during those talks, we learn how these dynamics start when we are little, right? Majority of the times we grow up, especially when it comes to parents, right? What we learn is what we keep doing for the rest of our lives unless we take the time to heal and change, okay? So if we didn't take the time, many things are unconscious, many things are familiar, many things are comfortable, and we just keep repeating them over and over and over. We repeat them with our partners, we repeat them with our friends, we repeat them with our coworkers, because deep down we are doing what we know, we are doing what we learn. If you learn how to receive and give love in a specific way, that's what you are gonna keep doing unless you learn something new. If you learn dynamics of abusing someone with power or pushing a specific button to get something from that person, you are going to keep doing what you learned unless you create something different. And that creating something different is what we call healing. Sometimes it's called inner child healing. Sometimes it's called shadow work. Sometimes it's called therapy. Sometimes it's called imago therapy. Sometimes it's called somatic healing. There are so many different routes to be able to become aware of that dynamic and then be able to transform it into something different. Okay, so let me keep reading some of the comments. We need to give off a good vibe to get a good vibe back. Yeah, Angie, absolutely. The way you show up and the way you manage your energy and your emotions, the way you self-regulate, is going to have a huge impact in how other people perceive you. And it's going to have a huge impact in how you interact with another person. If you are self-regulating, if you have a mindfulness practice where you have the habit of bringing yourself down, the habit of reflecting, the habit of being in silence for a little bit, the habit of looking at situations that triggered you and reflecting about those situations and kind of visualizing a different way of dealing with that situation, you are kind of rehearsing a different way of being. So when a similar situation shows up, because you took the time to do that, you took the time to become aware, you took the time to reflect, and you took the time to rehearse, what would I do in that situation again? Right now, with this consciousness I have, with the goal that I have in mind, I don't want to repeat what I did. It didn't serve me. I didn't get what I needed. I wasn't able to set the boundary I needed. Whatever the reality was, you take that event and then you reflect about it. You ask for answers. You share it with a friend or with someone that you trust. And then you rehearse. What is another possibility for that event? And then that's how you are going to start changing how people treat you, because you are going to start changing how you treat yourself and how you show up in that specific situation. And if you can start doing this with other areas of life and other situations, you are going to start noticing how much power you have, how much power we all have, and how much responsibility we all have in everything that's happening to us. So there has to be a willingness also to take responsibility, to be willing to be curious about what is my part on this? Why is this happening? Because somehow you are allowing that to happen. You are not setting a boundary. You are not removing yourself. You are creating that situation and you are creating that dynamic and participating in that dynamic. So many times it's unconscious, okay? You are not doing it intentionally. But many times we end up in situations and dynamics that we don't like, but we don't know how to get out of. And that's when reflection, that's when meditation about it, that's when try to become aware and be curious and do that work can help you uncover beliefs that you have, uncover needs that you may have that are not being met, and cover those buttons that we have that people push, but you maybe don't know where they are and what they do to you. And then when you learn about the button and you learn what happens when someone pushes and you kind of reframe that and change the belief, you are going to be able to be treated in a different way because you won't react the same way that you always do. So let me see if you guys have any questions here. So basically, learning from each interaction and changing your reaction once you see a pattern. That is a beautiful way to get started. Iris, anytime you sense that there is an event that you felt it didn't go well, you felt I didn't get what I needed, I wasn't able to express what I needed, that interaction felt heavy, I didn't like it, that is an entry point for you to start, just get curious. So why didn't I like that interaction? So what did I need? So how can I ask for what I need again? If that happens, how can I react differently so that my need, my want, can be expressed in a way that the other person can receive it, right? And this is when intentional communication can come into place, right? Knowing about the nonviolent communication structure that I always talk about, the Imago dialogue, intentional dialogue, the structure that I talk about, that can be a beautiful way to be able to create a container that is safe, that is respectful, and that you are making an observation. You are not judging the other person or making them wrong. And you are also open to hearing from them and what they perceive from that reality. Okay? But this takes two to be able to do it, okay? So you have to be willing to be curious, but the other person also has to be willing to be curious. But if they are not, there are other ways that you can still put into practice this without having to have the other person do it consciously. Because you can always self-regulate yourself. You can always don't react. You can always be aware of what you need and want. You can always become aware of the boundaries that you need to feel safe. You can always say no to something that you don't want. Like, the problem is that many times we don't do some of these things. We forget, or we are too emotionally charged in the moment and we don't know how to put it into practice, or we never learn how to do this. Like, I am learning a lot about intentional communication, about being present, about uncovering beliefs, about doing shadow work, but I never learned these things because no one knew how to do this before, at least in my circles. I wasn't exposed to this. So for me, it wasn't an option before to do this. So many times it's just important to recognize that many times we didn't have the opportunity to learn any of these things. So how are we supposed to do something that we have never learned? No one has modeled that for us before. And not because they didn't want to, because most likely they also didn't know how to do it. If a family insults you in front of family members, how should we react? So, Anne, if a family member insults you in front of other family members, I know in the moment it's hard, and I know that you may have a tendency, we may have a tendency to protect ourselves and to react, but if you don't react, if you really look at the situation and try to be bigger than the situation and try to understand, wow, this person must be really... So this person, for them to insult you in public and be so agitated, they must be in a really rough place. Their belief systems may be triggered, or I don't know what happened. And feel free to share a bit more of, like, why did they insult you? What happened there? And there is always a dynamic that is happening in the background. Okay, there is always something that triggered that person to insult to another person in public. And there is always these dynamics that are happening. But if you can remove yourself from the dynamics, you don't react, you don't participate. And you make the assumption that maybe it has nothing to do even with you. Maybe that person is in a state of mind that is not very well, wellness. They are not taking care of themselves. Maybe they are stressed, they are agitated, they are emotionally not self-regulating. So they're gonna do something that doesn't make any sense. They are going to explode. But if no one reacts to that, they will explode, but so what? What are they trying to get from that explosion? Why are they insulting? What are they trying to get from that insult? There is always something that they are seeking for. And many times they can receive that in a different way, in a way that they don't expect. Sometimes they're claiming attention, sometimes they're being challenged, sometimes their belief system is being challenged by someone's behavior and they are being triggered. A wound inside of them is being triggered by someone saying something or embodying something that triggers them. So I don't really know. This is why it is so important to really look at the specific actions, at the specific events. When we are trying to learn about this topic, like how can I teach others how to treat me? It all starts first with you knowing what is it that you need and want. But then also try to isolate specific situations so that you can learn from them, so that you can separate what was the trigger, what was the reaction, what did that person want or need in that moment. You can make an assumption, right? Because maybe you won't know. But if you can have the opportunity to have a conversation with that person later when they are more calm, and you can create a container where you both feel safe and you can kind of express what happened, that will be a beautiful opportunity to learn. Hey, what happened there? What caused you to be so agitated? I'm happy to listen. I would like to know. Please share. I'm listening, but with calm, okay? Not always set in that environment that is safe, everybody's self-regulating, no one is agitated. And then when you both are there, you can start a conversation. And hopefully each person will get clarity about why the other person is doing or thinking or feeling what they are thinking, feeling. And from that place, compassion can happen, empathy can happen, understanding can happen. You are going to feel, oh, this person is listening to me, so they are seeing me, they are seeing my reality. And they don't have to agree with it, okay? You don't need to agree with the other person's reality or their choices, but you can become aware of why they do what they do. And from that place, majority of the times, beautiful things will come up, okay? Beautiful awareness will come out. But many times we get stuck in the dynamic and we cannot go deeper. We don't create safety, enough safety and communication to be able to go deeper. I do this almost all the time. Really helpful, but triggers don't vanish. Why? So, Catherine, you do this all the time, really helpful, but triggers don't vanish. So, are you able, Catherine, to share a specific trigger that you find that is coming up over and over? And maybe we can look at that and maybe the situation where you notice it showing up. Again, isolating this is really helpful to be able to find what's happening, right? We need to learn not to be responsible for other people's problems. Yeah, Isadora, it's I don't know for you guys, but for me, what shows up every time someone is upset, every time someone is calling me out, every time, my tendency is always like, oh, what did I do? Oh, I made a mistake. Oh, it's my fault. That is my natural reaction, right? And many times I have to remind myself, Emilio, why is it about you? Why? Why is it about you? This is maybe has nothing to do with you. Maybe this is not your fault. Maybe you haven't done anything. Why are you so self-immersed in this experience? Everything is all about you. No, it's not. Many times has nothing to do with you. You just happen to be there. You just happen to be the guy who did something that triggered that person. But it has nothing to do with me. So if we make that assumption, it will be really interesting to then be curious about, oh, what's happening for this person now? So Catherine says, I am feeling not appreciated. Okay, so Catherine, when are you not feeling appreciated? In what situation? Is this with a specific person? Is this with a specific group? Yeah, it's important to really recognize when we are looking at these things. It's important to really look at who is involved, where are you at, all the different components. So with my boyfriend, he triggers me so hard. Okay, so he triggers you so hard and you don't feel appreciated. So my next question will be, what is a specific example of you feeling this way? And anytime you guys feel triggered, and Catherine, thank you so much for sharing, because the way you teach others how to treat you is by becoming aware of what is it that you need and want, and becoming aware of the moments where you don't get that, the moments where you're feeling triggered. Many times you feel triggered because whatever is happening is touching a wound that you have inside. It's touching probably a wound from your infancy, from your inner child. Most likely, when you were little, you didn't get something that you needed. Maybe when you were little, you didn't get, you were not appreciated. And that is a wound that you have been carrying, and now it's showing up with your partner. And when he does have something specific that reminds you of that event, you are going to feel the same way. I am able to tell him what I need. Yes, it's my number one wound from childhood. So, what happens? How do you tell him what is it that you need? And is he willing to receive? Are you guys communicating from a place of respect and willingness to listen without interrupting, without making each other's experience wrong? Because I will invite you to maybe try the Imago Dialogue, because that is the structure that I use with my wife. And anytime we feel triggered, we need to go to do a dialogue, because we can't keep going. We can't keep having the same conversation because we are going to hurt each other. And we already know that, so we don't go there. He understands, and communication is very good. Okay, so that's beautiful. And you are very lucky to have a partner that understands and communicates and is trying his best. So what do you need from him? Like, what is it that you need from him? And again, this is something that it's awareness. So what do you need from him in that specific moment? And that's why looking at a specific moment is so important, because what you may need is gonna look different depending on the situation. Sometimes you may say, I just need him to look at me in the eyes when he's talking to me. Or I may need him to validate what I have been doing all day, because I worked really hard at cleaning the house or whatever you were doing, and I want to be validated for that. So sometimes you have to be really clear about what is it that you need to tell me that I am appreciated. Okay, Catherine, are you aware of the love languages? Are you aware of the different ways on how we can receive love? Because it seems that you want him to tell you that you are being appreciated, and he's not doing what you need, right? So what do you need? Can you be concrete? Like, what does he need to do so that you can feel appreciated? What is it? Imagine that I am my boyfriend and I'm asking, honey, how can I make you feel appreciated? What can I do? I don't know what that is. So I need you to tell me concretely, what is it? What would you tell me? And many times, guys, I've been doing a lot of work about embodiment in couples, and I'm watching a lot of content from John Weiland, and I went to do a workshop in Texas, and my wife and I, we did a 6-month program. And it's so interesting how we make the assumption that our partner should know. And many times, no, they don't know. They honestly don't know. Sometimes Samantha makes assumptions that I should know a lot of things, and it's like, but I don't, and vice versa, right? And when we can communicate clearly, what is it that I need from you in this specific moment, all of a sudden, I will remember. She will remember. We will learn from each other. And all of a sudden, we are helping each other to understand how do we want to be treated. So yeah, such a good question that I rarely ask myself, what do I need? Yeah, Ginger, beautiful. So we need to ask that because many times we don't even know ourselves. So we don't know ourselves. What is it that I need? I don't know. So then if you don't know, if I don't know what I need, how can I expect someone else to give it to me? It's just going to be very difficult, right? But if I become aware of what I need and I can clearly communicate in a way that is respectful, like, honey, I really like to be appreciated. What I need from you is that anytime you notice something that I have done that benefits you in the house, I would love for you to come and say, Emilio, I love the way you cleaned the kitchen today. Emilio, I love the way that you fixed my bicycle. Thank you so much. That means the world to me. Emilio, I love how the beautiful meal that you cooked for me. Emilio, I love how hard you work showing up live every week on Inside Timer. That's what I need. And if you can come and grab my shoulders and tell me that in the ear softly, I need that. That's what I need. That's what I want. So when I can tell her that, she's gonna do it more often because she understands. And same thing from me to her. When she tells me what she needs and she really explains, sometimes, Emilio, I don't need to be touched. Sometimes, Emilio, I don't like what you like. I don't want you to come and rub my shoulders. I rather want you to come and give me a direction. Lead me into something so that I don't have to think and I don't have to make another decision. I want you to come and say, babe, get to the kitchen, do the dishes, and after that, you're going to sit on the couch and we're going to play a game. And after that, we're going to watch a movie. How does that feel? That's what she wants. So I will try my best to do that for her. And when I do that, she will feel appreciated. She will feel loved and she will feel like led, because sometimes that's what she wants. So what do you need? Others may not be able or willing to give us what we want or need. Becca, absolutely. It is a choice. But if you can't even express what you need, for sure you're not going to get it. When you discover what you need and you can express it, at least you can request something very concrete. Your partner or your person, or whoever is on the other side, they can choose if they want to do it or not, absolutely. And you shouldn't be offended if they don't want to deliver that. But in a romantic relationship where both people are trying to make each other happy, I will assume that majority of the times, everybody wants to do their best to make the other people happy as much as they can and want. So as long as you can do that with a willing, open heart, for me, it's way easier if I know what I'm doing. If I know, if I have more information about, honey, how do you want to be treated? How do you receive my love best? How can I support you best when you are feeling sad? What do you need from me in this specific moment? How can I support you self-regulate right now? When I can be told, it's way easier than if I have to guess, because guessing many times doesn't work, because how I like to receive is not how she likes to receive. What I would like to receive in that moment is not the same that she would like to receive in that moment. So that's how you slowly, you become aware. What is it that I need? How can I receive in this moment? And then how can I give to the other person? What is their love language? How do they like to receive? That's how you learn from each other. But yeah, boundaries, absolutely. If Samantha comes to me and she asks for something that I don't want to do, I will just say, listen, I just don't feel like doing that. That's not what I want to be doing. Or maybe you just set the boundary. Look, I can do this and this, but I don't want to do that. So I will do these two things. But we are talking about something very concrete, right? And we are talking about foundational things here. We are not talking about doing something crazy. It's just respect, listening, being appreciated, being loved, being heard, being validated. Most likely what you guys need, okay guys, what do you need? I would like for all of you to share in the chat, like, what do you need in this topic of, I want to teach others how to treat me. What do you want? What do you need from others? How do you want others to treat you? I would like to read that. Thank you, Kasia, for your donation. I really appreciate it. Emilio, those questions you are able to think of may not come to mind to the partner. Yeah, but that's why awareness, the most aware partner is responsible for leading the other one, okay? If someone is feeling pain because they are not getting what they want, that is an opportunity to bring the topic up. That is an opportunity to really express the truth. Like, I don't feel validated. I don't feel loved. I would love to get this, or I would love to. And again, it takes two to tango, okay? It takes two, like, there is always at least two people in every dynamic. But we are talking about how do you want to be treated? And sometimes the way you react, the way you show up, is going to change a lot how the other person interacts with you. So let me read what you guys need and want. I would love him to hug me and say, I'm sorry. Amazing. Yes, someone had to lead. I was wondering, how does someone deal with a person or persons that do not want to compromise at all? It's either my way or the highway. Yeah, so beautiful question. I've been doing so much healing work, I value myself highly now, but other people still do not treat me with respect. So what's on the inside isn't really coming on the outside yet. I would like others to respect what I ask for, not what they think is good for me. Amazing. Consideration. Honest connection. Amazing. Respectful communication. Yeah, so how do you deal with people that say my way or the highway? Well, you just stop engaging with them. Like the other day, I was in a call and something like this happened, right? Like a few people were driving together somewhere. And there is a person that always likes to drive fast, always likes to lead, and they want everybody to follow them. And sometimes they even speed up, like too fast, right? So another person was in that group and they say, I'm not a part of that. I don't need to do that. The person who is leading is the way or the highway. There is no in between. So the expectation from that person was that everybody would follow them and he will set the speed and everybody will lead. So will follow them, right? And he will lead. But the other person said, no, see you there at this time. And that's it. I don't need to participate in this dynamic. When you notice that this behavior is happening, then you can find different ways of dealing with this, okay? And again, I will look at the specific situation because it's very difficult to generalize, but if someone has my way or the highway behavior, majority of the times they get their way. And majority of the times they will go with people who is okay with that, people who allows that. And they won't go with people who will question them, right? They will not go with people who will say, no, I don't want to do that. Or why does it have to be done that way? They will probably find people to do the dynamic with. And if you are not that person, then the dynamic won't happen. Or the dynamic will need to change. So again, I will look at the specific situation. When is that behavior happening? What is the specific scenario? And what are other ways that you can interact differently? How can you react differently? How can you lead something different? How can you remove yourself from the dynamic but still get the goal if that's what you want? So there are different ways and different strategies, and this will go case to case. Every case will be different. If you want to share the specific, share it in the chat and I'll try my best to dissect it and see if there is an opportunity. How to handle situations with people who lack awareness and react negatively no matter how you approach them. Yeah, Jeanette, I mean, again, you can't change people, but you can change how you react in their presence. You can change the way you show up. If you notice that a person is always reacting negatively and you have tried to talk with them and they don't want to change, it is a choice really. But then you can set boundaries on how much time you spend with them. You can set boundaries on what you are okay with and what you are not okay with. And you can take care of yourself in a different way that doesn't involve that person. So, for example, when I go to visit my family in Spain, I set a boundary of time. I don't stay there forever. My wife, myself, and my daughter, we don't stay with them because there are dynamics happening in the household that I don't like, my wife doesn't like, and it drains us, and we don't want to be a part of. So, the only way for us not to be a part of those dynamics is not to be in the house. And it's really sad, but it is what it is. So I had to learn that over trying many different strategies for so many years. And at the end, it's like, I just can't be here. I don't want to be here. I choose not to be here because I am not going to change my dad. I am not going to change my sister. I am not going to change the dynamics that are happening between them. I can't change all of that. The only thing I can change is, and I try to do all these tactics in their house, but I realize when I'm in their castle, they have their own rules, and I don't have authority to do anything there, and they don't want to change it either. So I have to accept it, and I have to set boundaries on when I go to visit, for how long, and when a dynamic starts happening, I will name it. This is happening right now, and if this keeps happening, I'm gonna leave. And if it keeps happening, see you guys tomorrow. Bye. And I will leave, or let's just go to the coffee place. Because in public, they don't happen the same way. So these are some examples of what you can do, right? Did you see my question above? So Heidi, let me see if I can find your question above. Yeah, you guys are being great in the chat. So there's so much in here. I have heard that I need to be sensitive to the needs of others, but I have recently realized that I have been living under a ton of bricks. Let me see. A ton of bricks where someone has betrayed me and not been sensitive to my needs for decades. And this realization in the last month has felt like this ton of bricks has finally fallen in one. Question: how can I recover myself and heal from this pain and be able to inspire others to be more sensitive to my needs? So, Heidi, the first step, this is my opinion, okay? And you guys can chip in the chat if you have anything else to add. It all starts with yourself, okay? So you have to find yourself again. You have to create relationship with yourself again. You have to discover what is it that you need, and you give to yourself what you need. So you create that relationship inside of you. And then from that place of you giving yourself what you need, of you loving yourself, of you accepting yourself, of you taking care of yourself in the ways that you need and want, then you are gonna go out in the world. And people are going to see that. Honestly, they are. If you love yourself, if you respect yourself, if you know how to do those things with yourself, that's what other people will do to you because you won't attract anything different. You won't engage in dynamics that will be toxic for you. You will do what you want, what you have done to yourself first. And that's why so many times we try to change in the outside all the time. We try to change the people. We try to be dependent on others, we try to find things outside of us, but everything starts here. And sometimes we forget that it all starts here inside of you. Like if you want people to validate you, validate yourself. If you want people to love you, love yourself. If you want people to respect you, respect yourself. And from that place, you don't allow other people to do any different than that. And from that place, you are going to learn, oh, this feels good, this doesn't feel good. And you are going to start being able to create boundaries. But majority of the times, honestly, majority of the times, when you change who you are, when you start doing these things to yourself and you show up in the world with that, majority of the times, you are not going to be involved in those dynamics. They won't find you because you are just not a match to them. I don't know if this makes sense, guys. But for example, if Let me see if I can find an example. Negative people don't think they are negative. Everything is relative. So Heidi, I don't know if that makes sense, but basically I was in a relationship for like 9 years, and I remember the breakup was really hard. And I did discover that I was so codependent to the point that I wasn't able to go by myself to find a job. I was shy, I was like insecure, I was like something is missing. I don't wanna go alone. I wanna work with my girlfriend somewhere together. So that's how bad it got, honestly. And when I realized that, I realized, wow, Emilio, you completely lost yourself. You have to spend some time alone. You are not to go out and find another couple right away. You have to spend some time alone. You have to refine yourself. You have to establish a relationship with yourself. You need to be okay in your own company. And it's gonna be sad. It's gonna be lonely. It's gonna be. But from that place, it took me a year. And then guess who showed up? Samantha, my wife. She showed up when I was ready. So, but it took me a year to really be sad, be lonely, be. And then I started to go out with people. I started to find what are my hobbies, what do I want to do. And then I started to do those things alone with myself. And I was dating myself, put it that way. But and then from there, I started to do the things that I liked. And then from there, I started to meet people. And slowly, I started to build something up. But it all started with the relationship with myself. And then from that place, everything else kind of started falling into place. And I'm glad I did that, because if not, I would have gone to another relationship and I would have become codependent again. With Samantha, I still became codependent a little bit, and we had to do some work on that a few years ago. And I still have tendencies that I recognize, like, wow, this is my codependent side showing up again, because I'm afraid of showing up. I'm afraid of taking action sometimes. I'm afraid of being myself because it is scary. So yeah, I was so codependent too. It's so easy to get lost, guys. It's so human. It's so easy to get lost. That's why it's so important sometimes to nurture ourselves. Yes, make sense. You need to make sense of yourself and what you need, and then others, people's moods will become obvious. Because guys, when you have the courage to become a needy, when you have the courage to spend time with yourself, with the willingness to, I'm going to discover who I am going to discover my wounds, I am going to do the work to heal them, to give myself what I need, I am going to practice self-care, I am going to do the things I like, and I don't need anyone else to come with me because I can do it alone, and I am enough. So when you can keep doing those things, when you start sharing this with others, what do you think you are going to attract? What do you think people are going to see in you? Do you think you are going to fall back into codependency easily, or will you say that you are going to be more aware of it? So that's why the relationship with yourself is so important, right? And if you start treating yourself the way you want, then other people are going to see that, and they're going to be able to give that to you more easily. And you are going to recognize that also more easily. It takes some time to move through the codependence and regrow our connection to ourselves. It's worth every moment of practice. Absolutely, BD. Thank you for sharing that. Such a great story of your self-awareness. Like attracts like. And gongs and people reflect our inner selves. So guys, do you have any questions? And I know probably I have missed a lot of them, but the chat is flying, and when I'm trying to read something, it just goes away really fast. So what we have covered is, I think it boils down to how can you treat others, how to treat you. It all starts with you treating yourself the way you want to. And then from that place of self-awareness and self-discovery, then you branch out into other relationships in your life from that place of wholeness, from that place of awareness, from that place of acceptance, from that place of unneediness. So you don't need anything else to make yourself feel well. You can take care of yourself. You can love yourself. You can take care of yourself. And then anything else is an add-on. And I'm not saying be a hermit, but if you start from there, everything else is gonna be way easier for you to put into practice. And you will not accept specific dynamics. They just won't fit you. They just won't come your way. People won't resonate with you that way. Not sure as I have the opposite problem. I am too used to be with myself that it's difficult to compromise. Yeah, so Elsa, beautiful reflection, right? And this is a dance, right? When you are with yourself and you start noticing rigidity, you start noticing that you are becoming isolated and you don't like that. Some people like that and there is nothing wrong with it. But some people feel like, I would like to be more social. I would like to, then that's another exploration, right? Now that I feel well with myself, now that I feel, how can I branch out into finding my tribe, into finding people I enjoy spending time with, maybe finding a partner, maybe finding coworkers that I enjoy, maybe, you know what I mean? Like you start branching out, but at least you know who you are, you know what you need, and you know what you enjoy and what you don't enjoy. So it's gonna be very clear for you if you go on a date or you meet a new friend, you are gonna know very quickly if you want to spend time with them or not. It's gonna be very clear, very obvious. It's gonna either feel good or not feel good. But sometimes we are stuck with how we are, and when we cannot compromise and we cannot see the other person's point of view, that is something that we need to work on, right? Because that means that we are becoming too rigid. We are becoming unflexible. And we are losing that cognitive flexibility, that it is a beautiful executive functioning skill that allows us to be flexible, not to lose ourselves, not to do things we don't want to, but to have the capacity to understand other people's views, to have the capacity to adjust. And sometimes you may go with the flow, but you know that sometimes you need to set a boundary because you need to spend time with yourself. And that is healthy. Samantha and I, anytime we are on vacation with family members, we support each other with Eva, with our daughter, because we know that we need time by ourselves. We need that. It is not an option, because when we don't do it, when we neglect it, we become moody, we become lazy, we are not energized. And when we take that time to say, hey, I'm gonna go for a walk and I'm gonna do a walking meditation, I'm gonna listen to a podcast episode, I'm gonna go and do some exercise, I'm gonna read a book, I'm gonna go and go for a walk downtown alone. When we do those things, we feel better. So you start integrating these strategies when you are with other people too. And you are also giving them the opportunity to do the same, because they will notice what you are doing. They may ask, hey, where is Samantha? Or where is Emilio? Oh no, he's gone. Well, oh, he went to do a walking meditation, because we have found out that when we are outside of our routine, we need to set a routine, because if not, we don't feel well. Oh, that's pretty cool. I didn't think about that. Okay, all of a sudden you are planting a seed, right? Someone else is seeing you doing something that maybe they want to do. And it's the same. So many times I see someone doing something that I don't understand. And when I ask, it's like, wow, that's an amazing idea. I have never thought of doing that. I am putting that in my toolkit, right? Because I like it and it feels good. So that's how we learn, right? Yeah, taking your power back, absolutely. There is also a concept of titrating the amount of interaction with people so you learn what you like in smaller amounts. Yeah, guys, this is all about boundaries, right? And this is all about discovering yourself. Like, some people are extroverts and they need a lot of social time, but that energizes them. Some people are introverts and they don't like a lot of social time. They actually get energized when they are alone, but they may go a little bit out. And then there is all in between. So discover who are you. In my case, I am mostly introvert, but I enjoy opening myself up to being in groups, to do yoga, to do squash, to do activities, and I can be social. And many people think that I'm extrovert, but I'm not. I am extrovert when I choose to, but I have a limit. And when I reach my limit, I need solitude. I need to be by myself. I need to listen to a podcast. I need that variety, because if not, I will start feeling drained. And I will start feeling like, ah, oh, my boundaries are being squished and I cannot be myself. So that's how I feel, and that's what I need. And then I try to recreate that when I am on vacation. I try to recreate that with my wife. I try to recreate that when I'm working with others, as best as I can. So many times I make mistakes, of course. But at least you start discovering what is it that you need, okay? Never overestimate people's self-awareness. We are all walking through the wilderness, waiting for someone to show us the way. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so guys, thank you. Thank you so much for everything that you guys have shared. Such an engaging group. I love it. And I hope that some ideas came here for you. I so relate to that. People thinking I'm very social, and in reality, I am introverted. Thanks for sharing. Yeah, Jenny, it's. I have a friend that he's a social butterfly. He's always doing something, right? And when I look at him, I feel overwhelmed. I feel like, wow, like I will not like that. I like how many friends he has, but just thinking about keeping up with all of them, answering all the messages, planning everything he's doing, is not what I want, right? I don't want that. I don't want so much. I want less. I want more simplicity. But some people enjoy that. So that's why there is not a right or wrong approach. Everybody's different. And I think we need to discover what that is. Thank you, guys. This is helpful with a family relationship. Amazing. So, guys, thank you so much for being here. I hope that you have an amazing rest of your day. I hope to see you on Thursday in my next life, if you can make it. And in the meantime, feel free to join some of my courses if you can, or join the circle that is called Your Thriving Lifestyle, and we can keep the conversation going there, okay? And as always, if you felt that you got value out of this session and you can support me with a donation, I would love that. I will accept it with gratitude. And yeah, and thank you for your presence. Thank you for your shares. Thank you for your time. Very grateful to have all of you here. Okay? Amazing, guys. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Adios.